For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now let's talk about this before we get to the lines are lit. We got the I haven't even mentioned the defense. You know, splash plays make up for a lot. They do. But they stunk last night. Let's be honest about that. And that's alarming moving into the tougher part of the schedule here with star quarterbacks left and right. It's alarming. The throw to Pickens in the end zone. Two right feet down. You watch this game for 50 years. In your case, what, 20? How old are you, 26?
23.
What's your first conscious Steelers memory? The first game you ever remember for Little Limits watching with Muffin at home?
My dad sent me a picture of my, because I was at the game last night, of my first Steeler game. It was against the Carolina Panthers. Oh, about right in the, I think it was the 2008 season. I think it was the Super Bowl season. Jake DeLome was the quarterback. There I am with a sign.
Oh, my God.
He sent that to
me. Look at you. You're like looking at one of those little tiny frogs that they sell.
They were passing out those signs like at the end of the game. They just wanted to get rid of them. It's my first game. So I just grabbed a, it's my first game sign and sent it to my dad. And he sent me
a
picture of me at my actual first game.
Well, as long as you've been watching, too.
It was December 23rd, 2010.
I love it. I love that. You see something new.
Yeah.
How has that never happened before? But I've never seen it before. And now everybody's talking about the rule. And I like to have a very decisive take on everything. I don't like to be wishy-washy. But I'm going back and forth on this. Should it be... Should 1 foot twice equal 2 feet? Like if you get one knee down, that equals 2 feet, or an elbow or a forearm. Am I right about that?
Yes, you're right about that.
What about your butt?
Like
I think that does.
Yeah, your butt counts as 2 feet.
I think it should in the end. This was called correctly, but and I won't say it's a stupid rule. I won't. But I think in the end, it's probably the wrong rule. Of course, it won't be applied again until the year 2080. But I think it should be changed.
I think so, too. How often do you get this type of play, though? Once every couple of years?
Right. The next one will be 2080.
And, I mean, if you get 2 feet down, it's supposed to be both feet down, right?
Not once every couple of years. I've never seen it before. In 50 years.
I've seen it in college football.
What?
Where somebody taps 1 foot and then they try to tap the other foot because they can't get the other foot down. I've seen it once before.
They don't
in
need to
football.
Get the other foot down in college football. They just need one foot.
Well, yeah, I think that was a horrible point by me. But I also found it as we tread back on that.
That's what I love about you. Honest to God, and I'm being serious about that. And I hope to emulate you in that respect. You have a wonderful sense of humor about yourself. I think I do, too.
Yeah, you definitely do.
Ron did at times.
Sometimes you just have to be completely honest with yourself where you make a gripe. People notice. They're like, what the hell are you thinking? Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Listen, I was dead wrong, for example, about Justin Fields 4 weeks ago.
Me, too.
So, anyway, continue.
I also felt like this is what really got me. And I was explaining this to my buddy Frank, who was next to me at the game, because he was like, oh, Tomlin should challenge that. And I said, no. The official said, after review, it's an incomplete pass.
Tomlin still
throws the challenge flag.
No, I don't blame Tomlin.
After review, that means they reviewed it already, and you shouldn't throw the challenge flag. You're going to lose a timeout.
I'm not blaming him. Because I've lost track of all this crap. I can't watch an NFL game anymore. They don't even know what they're calling. I don't even know what the guy said.
He said,
you can't challenge that because it's automatically challengeable. Because, all right, every single play that I'm watching is potentially flagged for so many different infractions that I've reached the point where I'm not even blaming the officials anymore. even though they sucked last night. There's too many rules. Okay, so he threw a challenge flag. Just pick it up. Why is that a rule? Go over and clarify, Mike, we're challenging that. In case you forgot, amidst the 8 trillion blanking rules in the rule book, that particular play, even though a non-scoring play is not automatically challengeable. Do you remember Deontay in Cincinnati last year?
Yeah, I do.
In the back of the end zone? Why isn't that automatically reviewed? Because they didn't rule touchdown. Oh, but it was a potential scoring play that should be a scoring play. Isn't it common sense that if something is close on a scoring play, you should put it under the purveyance of a scoring play? And I just lost my breath. I can't watch this crap anymore, and I want to use stronger words. By the way, the stupid call on Neighbors for not stopping was a crap call, a ticky-tack call. They had a crap call on Alex Highsmith. It's the first time I've ever seen roughing the passer where the quarterback doesn't fall down. Are you kidding me? You know, short of punching him in the jaw, I guess, if he didn't fall down. And then the one play they don't call basically decided the game, which was the Calvin Austin punt return. And I'm sorry, but that was, if you were going to go to day one of officiating class, today, gentlemen, we're doing special teams and show what running into the kicker looks like, probably roughing the kicker because he got him on the plant leg. That's what it is. And that play should have been called back on that. But that's all beside the point. Now you have me on a refereeing tangent, which is really an officiating rule book tangent. The sport at times, that was a great game last night. Luckily, in the end, the game overrode the over-officiousness. I can't watch this crap.
Again, the first half was kind of garbage, and that's something that they need to be better at. No more field goals, touchdowns in the first half. They're a second-half team, which is much better than being a first-half team. But shouldn't Tomlin know that being on the competition committee of the announcement after review? It's not like the officials huddled up and reviewed. Maybe that's what he thought.
That's a stupid rule, too. Just go over and say, Mike, you can't challenge. What is it, Chris Webber? You can't call timeout when you've run out of timeouts? It's not that. Just go over and say, hey, by the way, I know this is confusing because the entire world is confused about everything we freaking do out here. Just pick up the flag. You can't challenge that. That is just stupid.
There could have been a penalty on the blocking on the run back, too, because every time that the special teams players put their hands up, like, I'm not doing anything, and put his back to the defender, it could be called.
I know. Those were borderline to me, though. I could live with those, but the running into the kicker was as blatant an example of that as you'll ever see. Bigger point being the officiating sucks in this sport.
Bring back the replacement
refs. No, it doesn't.
Refs.
The rule book does. I'm sorry. The rule book does.
Well, it's the interpretation of the rule book for the officials.
Who could interpret that? It's like me handing you War and Peace or War and Sapp.
Did you read all of War and Peace?
No, not even the first chapter.
I don't think I got through a page.
I mean, it's like handing you a 5,000-word book and saying, test next week, memorize everything. It's so stupid. They should scale back on everything, and you should be able to challenge anything at all, and you should get 2 challenges a game, and the rest will live with it. We'll just live with it. We did for all those years. It didn't serve its purpose. Mike Renfro, 50 years ago, launched Instant Replay, which was supposed to eliminate the egregious missed call. I have now seen three consecutive. When was the Minka block? Last week?
Yes.
I've seen points taken off the board there. Or left on the board that should have been taken off on a legitimate block because that play couldn't be reviewed. I saw a game that could wind up deciding people's playoff spots, which was Minnesota and the Rams, a blatant face mask in the end zone that 25 million people saw, but because the officiating crew didn't, we have no mechanism by which to go back on that. We give the Rams the game and 2 points in the game. Because Instant Replay can't fix that. Then I watched this game yesterday, basically decided, certainly the turning point was a punt return where you had as blatant a running into the kicker as you'll ever see, and there's no mechanism by which to return it. That's points on the board right there. That's a home run that the entire world watching the World Series can see went 5 feet outside the foul pole, and it would be like having no mechanism by which to say, oh, no, that was actually a home run. Instant replay across sports is a massive, massive failure. It was never meant to try to adjudicate whether that guy just, you know, had a skate on the blue line going 100 miles an hour, the blade of his skate. It was never meant. There was another play last night where I'm like, really? We're gonna spend 5 minutes looking at this? I forget what it was. And then we're going to let the punt return thing go? Or the Alex Highsmith thing go? What are we doing? We're in a bad place with instant replay. I hate it. I wish, you know, it's too late to ever say no instant replay, but if you gave me that option, I would, and live with the mistakes.
No, I wouldn't. I'd still want instant replay to take away a lot of the egregious things that are missed and make sure touchdowns that should be touchdowns are ruled touchdowns. Make sure Armando Galarraga has a perfect game. Those type of things in baseball.
Yeah, I can point to about 50 things in baseball I've seen that weren't overturned that were egregious. I just can't remember any of them. Like the Rams not making the playoffs, or the Vikings maybe missing a playoff spot this year because of what happened there.
Or what about the NFC Championship game years ago, why they ended up making pass interference challengeable.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, that. Where were we, Limits? I don't remember where we were. What were we doing?
Oh, we're talking about George Pickens,
the
2 feet.
What are you going to do?
I think 1 foot tapping twice should count.
So do I. 928-9370. We have tons of people on the line, tons of things to talk about. Opened up with, even if they had lost, the big story here to me is the Steelers have entered a brave new world. They have a passing game. I saw our boss, Craig Riley, in the hallway. And he said that what he thought last night was, man, for these last however many years, I was trying to convince myself that this was a real NFL offense, you know, desperately scrounging for evidence, you know, looking under the front seat of your car for that quarter you need at the toll booth when they used to have toll booths with workers in them. And you're trying to convince yourself. And then you realize when you actually see it, how bad it truly was. And how amazing it is to be able to propel the football down the field in the air. That's called a pass.
With some loft.
Yeah, that's called a pass. Changes games in a minute. Go to the lines.
Here's Lou in Staten Island.
Hello, Lou.
Hey, Joe. How you doing, bud? Long time no talk with you. Last time was with the last show with Ron.
So good to hear from you, man. Oh, were you on that last day?
Yeah, I had the privilege of calling in, and you guys put me up. It was pretty cool.
Awesome.
You know, I've been talking to you guys for years. So, you know, I'm about to do something, if it's okay with you. I haven't done in a long time on the radio station.
Oh, my God.
I've been calling for 7 or 8 years, and 97% of the time it's saying something negative on this coach. But I'm going to man up, and I'm going to say that I was wrong. I did not want Russell Wilson to play. I thought he was making a mistake. And I will say this. The word fluidity is the key. When you're watching the offense the last couple of games, especially last night, you know, it's proven that you can still, if you can run the ball, do play action with a veteran quarterback and play good defense, you could still win in the NFL. Despite everybody saying you can't, right? I mean, he's proving it right now.
Yeah, plus taking your shots down the field, which is a necessary element of the whole thing. The thing, very quickly, that was holding back the Steelers a lot in the last years of Pickett and in the final years of Ben was defenses simply didn't respect that you could beat them over the top. And therefore, very elementarily, they had lots of guys close to the line of scrimmage. Sometimes, right. You know, people want to make, especially coaches, want to make it seem like football is nuclear physics and how can you idiots out there possibly understand it? Here's how I understand it. If I don't think you can beat me over the top, I'm moving up and therefore I can stop the run and your short passing game. But please go ahead, Lou.
100%, Joe. You couldn't have said that any better. And two real quick points. One on TJ Watt, if I could. You know, stats are stats. But there's a difference in certain stats. And what I mean is this. At the end of the year, if you got 15 sacks and 10 of them were in the fourth quarter when your team is up by 21 points, that's different than somebody like T.J. Watt. Once again last night, he proves why this man is the best player on defensively in football and probably a top five player in all of football. He makes that strip sack the moment Russell Wilson tries to potentially give that game up. What does he do? In a critical point of the game, he bails us out. He's been doing that his entire career, and that's why he's one of my favorite players of all time. And the last thing about Tomlin, you probably didn't hear about it. The press conference after the game, he was trying to explain. A reporter asked him about that challenge call, and he actually gave a pretty good, honest answer. He said he didn't know that it was reviewed from upstairs. That's why he threw the challenge. Like, he was unaware of that.
Okay. So he didn't know it was reviewed from upstairs. I'll be honest with you.
In other words, like,
you know, I know. He probably knows that he can't throw the challenge flag if it's been reviewed, but he didn't know it was reviewed, maybe because he wasn't sure. I don't know what the hell's going on half the time with these officials. How can I blame Tomlin? I'm talking myself into a pretzel. I don't even know what happened. Was it a scoring play or a non-scoring play? Thank you,
Lou. Non-scoring play. So can it not be automatically
I thought the
reviewed.
No, it was a scoring play. It was ruled a touchdown. So that's reviewed. But if they ruled that Pickens did not score on the play on the field, like they did with Deontay in Cincinnati last year, it's not automatically reviewable. It's just so stupid.
Yeah, so
it's so stupid. Rule
the touchdown, it's automatically reviewed, which is why they said after review, they probably had replay assist to go after that. And once it's reviewed, that's why Tomlin can't use the challenge.
Well, maybe he wasn't clear that they had ruled touchdown. I don't know what the hell happened.
Well, I mean, I think the crowd's reaction pretty much told you that it was a touchdown. And Larry Richard blaring it from the speakers of Acrisure Stadium. Would you like to hear Tomlin explaining that?
Yes.
I didn't know that they used replay assist. So I really wasn't really clear on why it was ruled a non-touchdown. And so I went to the flag. Had I known they used replay assist, obviously I wouldn't have thrown because you're not allowed to throw when they use replay assist.
Okay, here's the deal then, at least as I think it. He's thinking it was such an obvious touchdown. Well, I guess every touchdown's reviewed, right?
Yes.
Is that
every scoring play.
Okay. So you should never throw a challenge flag on a scoring play?
If it's ruled a touchdown, field goal, whatever, then yes, correct, because it would automatically be reviewed. So it's going to be reviewed anyway, so there's no point in throwing a challenge flag
Something
on it.
Something sounds a little fishy about that, but okay.
How so? Because it's already going to be looked at by the replay crew.
I don't know. Well, then how could he not know that?
That's the point.
If every single scoring play is reviewed...
And it was ruled a touchdown on the field.
How do you get your clarification then? Because to him, it looks like an obvious touchdown.
Right. Once they rule a touchdown and then they come back and say, after review, it is not a touchdown. There's no point in challenging it. What else are you further looking at? Because the review team already looked at it in New York.
All right. Okay. All right. Get to Brian Kelly slamming the table. I've had it with this.
There's nitpicky things at this point.
I'm telling you, man, I can't take it anymore, the officiating. I guess that was his fault. There's something else to that story. Let's wait to see it come out Tuesday. I want clarification on that.
On the flip side.
No. The obvious question for Tomlin tomorrow, we're going to ask Batko about this when he comes in at noon, is this. Is Mike, if every single play that's ruled a touchdown on the field is automatically reviewed, why would you think that replay assist wasn't used on that play? What would make you think that? And I'm very curious to hear his answer. He might have a good one. He might have something that we're not thinking about. But that needs to be the question, and Batko needs to ask it.
It's a good question.
Thank you.
Well worded.
Very well worded, I thought. Can we hear Donnie, Bob, and me with Russell Wilson upon the signing of him again? Just throw that in periodically today to make us feel good.
Steelers Nation, let's ride.
Steelers Nation, ride with me, baby.
Oh, boy. Steeler Nation, let's ride. See, I think I win there because as Donnie pointed out in a text to me when we played it the first time and you ruled that Bob was the winner, Bob didn't follow the script. He went off script.
Bob is allowed to go off script, though.
Well, that's a good point.
Because he's Bob.
Because he's Bob. Next.
Let's go to Mark on the road.
What's up, Mark?
Hello, fellas. Appreciate you taking my call. Just wanted to touch on a few things. I do think that it's encouraging to see the offense convert even third and manageable and also long third downs.
Encouraging. It's revelatory. It's new world stuff. Encouraging. It's way more than encouraging.
Yes, it's great to see. And I hope that's something they continue against a tougher schedule coming up in the future.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to mention was, unfortunately, with the nickel defense that they had out there yesterday against a rookie running back, didn't look particularly great. But I do think that will be a strength for them moving forward against different, you know, schemed quarterbacks that they'll be facing in the upcoming schedule. But, yeah, I just wanted to get your thoughts, and thanks for the time.
Thank you. You want to comment on that one? I was distracted there for a moment, Limits, and you were too. We just both didn't listen to the guy. What did he say? I heard him say at the beginning that it was, what was the word he used? Encouraging with this offense. Oh, he ripped the defense later in the call.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't blame him.
And we're going to get to that next because that needs to be talked about. We've talked a lot of offense. We've talked a lot of specific plays.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.